Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship today at Second Baptist Church. It is especially an honor for us to be with you guys on Sunday mornings. We know that you take out time out of your weekend to tune in, and we are grateful for that. I missed you guys last Sunday. Truthfully, I was just a big chicken and scared to drive in the snow, so I'm so grateful for the faithful three who were brave enough to come out and provide a beautiful worship service for us while I sat cozy in my living room with coffee in hand and watched the church service for the first time in a long time. So I hope you guys all had a great weekend and were safe and warm in your houses too. One thing that I'd like for you guys to be aware of is on February the 10th, our regularly scheduled church conference at 5:45, we're going to be presenting the changes that have been made to the Covenant of Community, and that'll be up for adoption that night. If you guys would like a printed version, we have some here in the church office that you can come by and pick up, or you can go to secondb.org/COC, Covenant of Community, and see the changes there. I invite you to do that before February the 10th. Now, I hope for the next 45 minutes or so, you can tune out whatever is coming across on your news feed or what's happening maybe in the next bedroom over, right? I hope you can tune all of those things out and find something in this service that is a blessing to you. Join with me now as we prepare for worship. Let's be silent for just a minute. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the peoples.
Sing to him. Sing praises to him. Tell of all his wondrous works.
Glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let them say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Please pray with me. Dear God, we come to you today with hearts full of praise and minds set on you and your goodness. May every breath we breathe and every word from our mouth bring you praise. May the examples of our lives point to you and to your love. It is in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
To invite all the boys and girls to your TVs and computers, gather around for children's time. I'm so excited to get to talk to you this week. I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to you last week, but I bet, like me, you guys were quick to watch the service and get out and play in the snow, and I am so grateful for that day and all of the pictures that I got to see of y'all playing in the snow and having snowball fights and tons of different kinds of snow angels and snow forts and really great snowmen from all of y'all, too. So I hope you've had a great day, a great week with all of the snow. And who knows, maybe there's still a little bit at your house that you can maybe make another snowball with before it all melts away. I was thinking today, boys and girls, about our message and about our scripture. And our scripture reading that I'm going to talk about is from the Psalm 139, and there's two verses that I want to draw your attention to. It's verse 13 and 14. Let me read those to you for a minute. For it was you who formed in my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I was really drawn to those verses today, guys, today, because I've been thinking about, over the past year, how many Google Classroom, Google Meets have you guys done? How many Zoom video conferences have you done with people? How many times have you been looking at yourself on screen? I have been looking at myself a lot on screen, and I've noticed lately that I'm a little self-conscious about the way I look. Is my hair right? Do I have too many wrinkles in my face? Is my makeup right? And when I'm looking at the screen, I've been a little bit nervous about how my appearance is, and I started to think, as I was thinking about this scripture, that who cares how I look on the screen? I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that means that you are made perfect and unique just as you are in every feature, in every hair on your head, in every fingernail on your fingers and toenails on your toes, was formed and thought of specifically by God before you were born, when you were inside your mommy's tummy. And so I was thinking, and I want to challenge you guys to get a mirror. I brought a mirror today. And I know you have one of these around your house and you have a ton of mirrors in the bathrooms. I want you to go into one of those mirrors and I want you to look at yourself. And I want you to see all of the beautiful features on your body and I want you to point them out. And I want you to say, man, I really like my hazel eyes. I have hazel eyes and I'm so proud of that. Such a pretty color. I want you to say, man, I have really great nose and my lips are great and look at my hair. And look at my skin color. You are perfect and unique, just the way God wanted you to be. And then, as you're looking in the mirror and you're looking at your beautiful self, I want you to remember, boys and girls, that you are made in the image of God. So you are looking at the face of Christ when you see yourself in this mirror. And I want you to remember, whenever you feel self-conscious about yourself, whenever you're down on how you look or how you feel, or if somebody says something that hurts your feelings, I need you to remember what you saw in that mirror when you looked at the beautiful face of God. Will you guys pray with me? Lord, we thank you so much for taking the time to make each and every one of these boys and girls and each and every one of their parents unique and perfect and beautiful and special in their own way. We thank you for making us in your image. God, help us to remember that as we get down on ourselves and we feel self-conscious and we're worried about what others think of us. Help us remember that we were made specifically as we are, fearfully and wonderfully. God, be with these children and their families this week and help them to know that they are loved and thought of and prayed for every day. It is in your most holy name that we pray. Amen.
As Cheryl mentioned, our psalm reading is from Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, Lord, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance. In your book were written all the days that were formed for me when none of them has yet existed. How weighty to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. I try to count them. They are more than the sand. I come to the end. I am still with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Friends, as you may be able, we invite you to join us in a prayer and in this spirit of confession. We come before you today, O God,
asking for the courage to live more committed lives.
Make us like Joshua,
who declared that he and his household would serve the Lord no matter what might others do.
Make us like the early disciples,
who were willing to risk all that they had for the way of the risen Christ.
Make us like Ruth,
who insisted that the ways of God and the people of God were worth leaving her old way of life.
Give us courage to live as people who belong to God,
so that the world might know your salvation and your love for humankind.
Amen. As the scriptures say, if we are faithful to confess our humanity and our brokenness, God is faithful to forgive. For we believe that it is the love, the forgiveness, and the healing of God that is even more true than our confession. Amen.
Amen.
If you would like to stand for the gospel reading, I'll be reading from John 1, 43 through 51. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said to him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God.
It is surely a gift, a privilege to join you in worship. Thank you for joining us, however and wherever you may be. Our friends found a turtle down by the river. Not in a van down by the river. They were just walking down by the river, and they found a unique turtle. As you well know, many turtles are circular or ovular in some regard. They may be dark gray or dirty or brown or even be covered in a slimy green algae. However, this was a unique turtle, so unique they took this turtle home. You see, instead of being ovular or even circular, this turtle was in a deformed shape, maybe a shape somewhat similar to the incredible snowman that you may have made this week. This turtle was in the shape of a figure eight. You see, probably, likely, even as a wee hatchling, this turtle was adorned with a ring of plastic, and as a wee one, it fit right around the turtle's shell perfectly. I like to think that as a young turtle, maybe there were other turtles who were jealous of this turtle who had such human swag, such costume jewelry donning its protective covering. But as the turtle grew, as you can imagine, the ring did not. And as I understand, as I have heard and read, the greatest ecological disaster in our world that no one is talking about is, in fact, there is an island of garbage and human plastic swirling around the North Atlantic and in other parts of our oceans. But in the North Atlantic, there is a gyre, an island of garbage the size of Texas, and that is making its way into the water, into creation, into fish. And this is happening all the while we are gathered here worshiping the God of all creation. So our friends who had brought this turtle home actually had a unique decision in front of them. They debated what would be best for the turtle. For example, if they are to clip or to remove, to cut this plastic ring off the turtle, maybe it could grow. Maybe it could learn again and move again and live again more like a turtle. Or if they were to clip, to cut this plastic ring that had deformed the shape and even the lifestyle of this turtle, would it then display that its entire body, its entire protective covering, its entire form was dependent upon this exterior coating? They debated, and we asked them, what did you decide to do about that turtle you found down by the river? And they said, we cut the ring off. We cut the ring off. And we asked, what happened? What happened? And they said, nothing. Nothing happened. But they said, when they released the turtle back, it seemed as though the turtle had a future. It seemed as though at least the turtle had a chance. Now, I am no expert. However, I am tremendously enjoying the teachings of Professor Don Beck with regard to the great double helix of human development, otherwise known as spiral dynamics. Particularly, I'm captivated by the theme that Dr. Kent Wilber emphasizes throughout his teaching regarding this concept. And Ken Wilber's theme is transcend and include. This is the way of growth. This is the way of learning. This is the way in which we, like the turtle, might experience new life, transcend and include. I find this not only to be captivating at an intellectual level, I find this to be a wonderful rubric for the wisdom, for the teaching, and even the calling of Jesus. Transcend and include, or in the words of Jesus, deny yourself, carry your cross, and follow me. Yeah. I find this, now I'm seeing it everywhere in the teachings of Jesus. However, it may be no more directly connected than in the Sermon on the Mount, in which Jesus uses this phrase, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you," again and again, "You have heard it said, but I say unto you." And the climax, the pinnacle of this teaching, at least for me, is when Jesus says, "You have heard it said, love thy neighbor. But I say unto you, love thy enemies." Love thy enemies, Jesus says, and pray for all, including those who persecute you. Transcend is to not just love neighbor, but to love enemy. And to include is to not just leave enemy behind, but to carry them with you daily in thy prayers. Transcend is to go beyond, is to grow. Transcend is to rise up. Sound familiar? And include. Include is to remember. To include is to belong. Transcend and include. Nathanael had been greeted by his friend Philip, and Philip says, "Nathanael, you'll never believe it, but we found the one whom the prophecies, we have found the one whom all the law, we found the one whom the justice and the mercy of God is fulfilled in. He is Jesus of Joseph of Nazareth." Patrick Scott read it beautifully earlier, read the response of Nathanael saying, "Oh, nothing good comes out of Nazareth." Nathanael knows his scripture, knows his tradition, knows his history well. Nazareth is a new place on the map. Nazareth is a small place on the map. Nathanael says to Philip, "Oh, Philip, Nazareth, it doesn't have a messianic origin. It doesn't have the great history in our tradition. Nazareth, like Slayton, doesn't even have a Walmart." And Jesus, having never greeted Nathanael in person before, comes to Nathanael and says, "Oh, look, a wonderful Israelite in which there is no deceit. which is likely this deep, the scriptural reference to Jacob, who was the deceiver. Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel. And Jesus says, I have seen you, Nathanael. I have seen you under the fig tree. The fig tree, which is probably what I would suspect a delicious place, is also connected in our scriptures to that place at which the rabbis would teach their disciples. Jesus says, I have seen you. And I think maybe there may be no more words we need to say today other than Jesus sees you. Jesus sees you. And when Jesus says this to Nathanael, Nathanael says, it's the first person in the Gospel of John. Nathanael says, you must be the Son of God if you have seen me under the fig tree. You must be the King of Israel. He's the first person in this incredible document to say who Christ is. And Jesus, in such Jesus sage-like form, neither confirms nor denies that great confession of Nathanael. It reminds me, of course, naturally, of the night in which Jesus was handed over to be crucified. And in the palace with Pontius Pilate, he is asked, are you the King of the Jews? Are you the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth? And Jesus responds, it is as you say. Yeah, it is as you say. Nathanael confesses who Christ is, this Messiah, this anointed one, this one who can see. And Jesus responds, not with, yes, my beloved child, not with, good for you, not with, thank you, finally someone notices. Jesus responds with words more akin to what I think is those famous 1973 words of Bachman Turner Overdrive. Jesus says, baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet. Bah, bah. I apologize. I butchered it, but we had to get it out of the way, right? You ain't seen nothing yet. Jesus says to Nathanael, I will show you more than what you can imagine when you call me the Messiah. Yes, indeed, it was Jacob who saw that great ladder extending from the earth to the heavens with angels ascending and descending. And Jesus is saying, I will connect the two in a way in which no one has dreamt before. Transcend that which you are thinking now, Nathanael. Transcend all the conceptions that you are holding, brothers and sisters, transcend. Jesus invites you to transcend. And Jesus invites us to be included. Come with. And baby, you will see more than you can even imagine. To transcend is to move beyond. For the turtle, to transcend is to remove that which restricts. It may not necessarily be so negative for you and I. To transcend is to maybe just simply to receive new boundaries or to let go of boundaries, even things that give new form. To transcend is indeed to move forward. And we find this just time and again in the call of Jesus. It's an invitation to grow, to learn, and to live again. Transcend, yeah. Yes, I think if I were to summarize it in one word, the call of Christ, the invitation to transcend is more. It's more. Nathanael, you have said well, but it is more. Jake, you have said okay, but it's even more. Our Eastern brothers and sisters say this is the movement from the small mind of self to the big mind. Yeah, it's more. This is the flow. This is the tug. This is that directional pull of the Spirit. Sure, where you are, yes, and more. Yeah. Our daughters are currently learning the concept of mine. And whatever one girl has, that means the other girl wants it. And if there is something that one girl has, but she doesn't want it, but the other one realizes that that one wants it, well, then now all of a sudden she wants it. And certainly personal and private property is so important for our culture. But it seems as though, at least at the lowest levels, the invitation of Christ is less of mine and more of ours. Less of me and more of a spirit. Consider the farmer. There was a farmer who grew corn, and maybe you prefer cotton. Maybe you're a West Texas cotton. I don't know of the botany in regards to all of this, but at least the story goes that there was a farmer who grew world-class corn. And every year, this farmer would take his corn to the state fair and win a blue ribbon, first prize, best corn in all the state. And year after year, this farmer won, and eventually a reporter became fascinated with this farmer. And the reporter, after winning another year, a reporter says, tell us about your corn. Tell us about how you do this. And throughout the course of the interview, the farmer disclosed that each year, at the end of the season, he would take his best corn seed and give it to his neighbors, who are also corn farmers. And the reporter was perplexed. The reporter was intrigued. The reporter said, why would you give your best corn seed to your neighbors, who are not only competition at these state fairs, but your neighbors are competition with you in the marketplace? And the farmer said, well, you see, corn is pollinized by the wind. And the wind blows the pollen around, and this helps the corn grow. He says, if my neighbors grow inferior corn, then eventually that inferior corn will also blow onto my property. You see, we are all in this thing together, growing incredible corn. The farmer has transcended the narrative of destroy thy competition. The farmer has transcended the opportunity of gain and instead realized the limitations of the word I and has included we. Yeah, and this is the pull. This is the direction. This is the wisdom. This is the flow of Christ. Yeah, away from me, back towards, away from me and more towards we. And this is only just with respect to one aspect of economy, with one aspect of agriculture. The wisdom of Jesus is universal. This rubric to transcend and include that I find is such a helpful way to understand the wisdom of Jesus, the calling of Jesus. It can be applied in all manner of our lives. Yeah, we transcend and we include self. We die to self to be raised to a new self. We transcend and we include our politics, the way that we understand justice, transcend and include in our educations, and transcend and include church, the great community of faith. Yes, even church, we transcend and include. For example, the religious tradition that I grew up in was largely a religion of rules. It was. There were a lot of don't do's. Now, this was not necessarily the religion of my parents. And to be fair, it may not have been so explicit even in the community of faith. But this is how I received it. This is how I received those emphases, was that to follow Jesus largely meant don't do X, Y, or Z, which is a good reminder that even despite maybe our best efforts, we never really know what our children and what our youth are hearing. Therefore, we have all the more responsibility to be careful, to be intentional, and to be gracious with these young ones. So I had received this religion of don't do's, and as I had grown up, and as I had matured, and as I had, actually read the Bible a little bit, I learned that some of the don't do's really weren't don't do's. And I had discovered that some of the do-do's were largely forgotten in this community of faith that I was a part of. And so this caused me to have some serious questions. Can a brother get a witness? Yeah, because this is such an incredibly common story, particularly in the Western world, where young and old alike are leaving the church and never going back because Christ is so much more than don't do's. Yes, Christ is so much more than do or don't do this or that. Now, to transcend and not include is to walk away altogether. Yeah, and this is what so many are doing. And this is not just with respect to the church, but this is with respect to so many things. To transcend and not include is to leave the community and not care, right? To include and not transcend, okay? To include and not transcend is to syncretize, proselytize, and even colonize. And this is the great danger. This is the great danger of inclusivity without transcendence, right? Just join our church. Just join my political perspective. Just join our thing. That's inclusive, yes, but it does not include transcendence, the recognition that it is bigger than just me or mine or here. Yeah, transcend and include. Yeah. Deny thyself, carry thy cross, and follow me. Transcend. And there's that and word again. So, there are times where I need and I try to give thanks to God for the religion of rules that I receive. There are surely moments where I can give thanks for the ethic, for the sense of morality, for even maybe that drive, even that spiritual discipline that was developed even through a system of don't do's. Has it morphed over the years? Yes. Has it grown and shifted and moved beyond? Yes. But to include it is to remember it, to bow to it, to acknowledge that even it is my teacher. Yeah. Yeah. And so, there are times where Allison and I will make time to just do the things that we had been told for so long not to do. And we will do so with joy and with laughter and with thanksgiving to God who called us forth, transcending and including. And if you need me to be any more specific, Allison and I, often in our kitchen, will dance together as all good Baptists should. Transcend and include. Receive the invitation of Christ. This wisdom is universal, and it is why Christ is as alive and good today as ever. Yes. The love and the grace of God is so great. It is so much more that I like to think and the Spirit of God is smiling upon you. The Spirit of God is smiling upon this world. The Spirit of God is smiling upon this church and singing, "Baby, you ain't seen nothing yet." Let's pray. Good and gracious God, you are the more. hold us in this presence and in this grace always. For my brothers, my sisters, for all of our friends, gathered and scattered, whether in front of a computer, whether they're at home, whether they're driving to work, hold them in your grace. Hold them in your presence. Bless them with you, that which is more. Receive our human attempt to respond to your call, to deny ourselves, to carry our cross, and to follow you. We give that which we have to you, heart and spirit and soul and sweat. May you take what we offer and make it more. In the name of true love, we pray and worship together. Amen.
God, we know all good and perfect gifts are from you. You are the giver of all of our blessings and the creator of our lives. Please bless us as we use these gifts that you've given to us to praise you. And remind us that our gifts are not only monetary, but the gift of having a kind spirit to our neighbor and the gift of loving someone who maybe isn't like us. You are the Lord and deserving of all of our love and our gifts and praise. And it is in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
wonderful, beautiful. I can hear you singing on the other side of your computer. That is a miracle, isn't it? Join me in thanking our friend and brother Mike Spann for running all the magic today so we can worship together. It is incredible. And as you go today, receive these words of blessing. You are light. You are loved. You are one. But wait, there's more. There's always more. And may you receive the more as you go this week and follow Christ. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today for worship at Second Baptist Church, Lubbock, Texas. We invite you to join us every week right here at 8:30 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. We also have past worship services and sermons available on our website at secondb.org/sermons. Now that's second spelled out, S-E-C-O-N-D, B as in boy, .org/sermons. Also, if you would just like to learn more about our worship services, we have that available as well at secondb.org/worship. And discipleship class information for all ages is also available online at secondb.org/classes. Now, also, don't forget to check out our wonderful children's ministry, 2B Kids. You can find information about us all year long on secondb.org/kids. And also, if you want to just learn more about Second B in general, find out about our rich history, and maybe even stuff that we're currently up to, just head over to secondb.org/about. Second B is an inclusive community of faith that embraces a unique gathering of diverse Christians, dynamic, spiritual, and relevant worship, which leads to action, is our primary focus. We strive to provide a loving, nurturing, and supportive fellowship, along with a rich Christian education program for all ages. We build unity out of diversity. We do not just tolerate diversity. We respect diversity as Baptists who value our heritage. Our denominational partners are the Baptist General Convention of Texas, the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship, and the Baptist World Alliance. Second Baptist Church is committed to sharing the love of God in Christ and putting people into partnership with God. If you would like to submit a prayer request, you may do so by emailing us at prayer@secondb.org. Again, thank you for joining us for worship this week. We hope you have a terrific week and join us again next Sunday. Thank you so much and God bless.